Welcome to Buckhead Church Online. We're so glad you're joining us today. This is a special day for a number of reasons. In just a little while, we'll be hearing from Joel Thomas and Matt Novlett as we wrap up our series, Do Not Disturb. It's been a meaningful journey as we've explored the importance of rest, margin, and creating space in our lives through spiritual practices for what matters most. But before we get into that, we want to take a moment to pause together and reflect on what this weekend, specifically Memorial Day, is truly all about. For many of us, Memorial Day marks an unofficial start of summer. It's a long weekend, a day off of work, a chance to spend time with friends and family, and maybe even enjoy a slower pace. But it's also a day that invites us to look deeper. This day off exists for a purpose, to create space in our lives to remember. It's an opportunity to reflect on the incredible sacrifices made by the men and women of our armed forces, those who gave their lives in service to our country. Their courage, their dedication, and their willingness to put others before themselves have secured the freedoms we enjoy today. Freedoms like gathering and worship, freely and openly in person and online, and the freedom to live in peace and safety. So today, before we move into the rest of our time together, we want to encourage you to take a moment. Maybe that's a moment of silence, a prayer of thanks, or simply holding in your heart the reality that our freedom came at a cost. Let this Memorial Day be more than a day off. Let it be a day of gratitude. Let it be a day of honor. And with that spirit, we turn our hearts toward a message that reminds us once again what it means to live with intention and purpose. Let's hear from Joel and Matt as we conclude Do Not Disturb.
Matt, I love we're having this conversation today. It just feels right on so many levels. It's amazing to be honoring those who laid down their lives in service to our country. I also love the fact that we're honoring volunteers, giving them time off this weekend. It's one of two Sundays a year that we take off from in-person meetings at church. And we do it for a number of reasons, but one of the reasons is really core to what we're going to talk about today. We've been in this series, Do Not Disturb, which I've enjoyed your messages in the series, by the way.
I've enjoyed yours.
And, thanks for that. Yeah, I guess we're here to affirm each other. That's what we're doing here.
Yeah, so. Joel, you're a really good preacher. And you, Matt, you don't draw that well.
You're better.
But
you're better.
Joel, no, it's not true.
So here's the thing. This is an awesome day to be talking about this because, you know, it feels like Sunday comes every week because it does. But for us in our world, like that's a work Sunday. And so many of our volunteers, they work all week and then they come and they work again on Sunday. And so to take a time off is a good rhythm to have some rest. And it's actually core to what we're going to talk about today. But I'm curious for you, when you have a Sunday off, what do you do with that?
Yeah, great question. So I would like to say that a Sunday off, I would sleep in, I would wake up when I want to wake up, drink coffee, read books, catch up on shows. But I have three young kids, Joel, 9 months, 3 years old, and six.
It's real.
And so it's impossible in this season to do any of that.
I got some hope for you because you're almost there. Because I'll tell you what I do when I have a Sunday off is I tell my kids, because mine are a little bit older than yours. And, you know, I have two teenagers, but I have two that are just a little bit ahead of yours. And they're old enough to get their own breakfast and, you know, turn on the TV, entertain themselves. So I tell them, do not come in my room in the morning, because they get up early like yours. Do not come in my room unless somebody's dying or the house is burning down. That's it.
And it works.
And it works.
It works.
It works.
Look, that is
now,
so encouraging.
There's a mess everywhere in the kitchen.
Right.
And there's cereal all over the floor.
But who, Anne, if you're watching, Anne's my wife, there's hope for us, Anne. Like, I just want her to hear that, because, Joel, that's really good for my heart. But no, honestly, I take a deep breath. Like, I think that's it's an opportunity to just slow down. And to not feel, even just mentally, to not feel so busy. Like sometimes I think even just up here, we get so busy and there's so many things we're thinking about. So I take a deep breath. Because when you're busy, which we all are, there's always the tendency that busyness can turn into hurriedness.
Yep, yep.
And a hurried life always leads you down a path that's not good.
Yep.
A hurried life leads you down a path ultimately that is not compatible with following in the way of Jesus.
Yep.
I've heard it said once that a hurriedness is actually the great enemy of spiritual discipline in our lives.
Yep.
I think that's true. So it's a natural break in the rhythm, having a Sunday off.
Yep.
And so it's an easy opportunity, a natural opportunity just to take a deep breath, to slow down, to relax. And just click refresh.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I'll do.
So that's a great on-ramp to what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Sabbath. We've been talking about spiritual practices, spiritual disciplines in this series, Do Not Disturb. You know, what does it look like to really press that button where it's like you kind of can shut out the world, you can stop things, you can refresh, things that reframe, give new perspective. A lot of these spiritual disciplines do this. I don't know of many that are better than Sabbath.
Yeah.
And it's not just because of the rest. It's because of what can happen by getting into a healthier rhythm.
Mm.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But I thought we'd start by talking about just sort of the historical context for Sabbath. You know, as you know, we first see it in Genesis 2. God creates for 6 days, then he takes a Sabbath, the day of rest on the seventh day, which we'll come back to that in a minute because it is interesting. Like, did God really need to rest? And the answer is no, but it was important. He was modeling something important. It isn't actually until Exodus chapter 13 that the people are commanded to take a Sabbath or to honor the Sabbath. And it was connected to God's covenant that he made with the people of Israel at Mount Sinai. And what's interesting to note is this was sort of like instructions that went along with, here's how to be my people. It wasn't the Ten Commandments and the covenant that was made with the people of Israel as they were headed into the wilderness, as God rescued them out of Egypt. It was not like a precondition for relationship. God had already established relationship. He said, you're my people. And he had already rescued them. He brought them in the wilderness. Now he said, here's how you're going to live. Here's what's a rhythm that's going to be better for you. And he begins with Sabbath. And he says, you need to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. And so the Israelites, they begin. There's all sorts of traditions and customs. Shabbat is where we get the word Sabbath. Shabbat literally means, you know, you see it translated rest, but it literally means cease and desist.
Mm.
It's like when you get it from your HOA, that's like, hey, that stuff you have in your yard thing you're doing, like cease and desist, it's done. That's literally what Sabbath means. And again, it was this sign of God's covenant relationship with people. It's like, this is what my people are going to do. They're going to stop working. And that's what it entailed. And this is what's interesting is it wasn't even just for the families. It was for their kids. It was for their guests. Even if they had out-of-town guests, their guests were to rest and not to work on the Sabbath. Even their animals were not to work on that day.
Wow.
So it was more about honoring God and going, you can take a day off and still be productive. God will provide. Your ultimate provision comes from the Lord. He's the creator. He's the distributor. I mean, it's like, can you imagine having a business and taking a day off
Never.
Or closing for a day? I mean, there's no way that you could compete.
You wouldn't survive.
Like a restaurant. Yeah. How could it compete with all the other restaurants out there if you weren't open a day a week? I don't think it's hurting Chick-fil-A super
bad. But can you imagine if they were open on Sunday, the church crowd that would show up to...
Yeah.
It would be
I'm
unreal.
Not trying to tempt them.
I'm not, yeah.
But the reality is there would be a mass flood into Chick-fil-A on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Maybe they should just consider taking the Sunday morning off.
After a Sunday service would just hit different.
Is that your spicy chicken deluxe? That's your go-to?
It is. But it's in recent days it's the non-spicy one, but with pepper jack cheese.
Yeah.
So, anyways, this is important. I'm glad we're getting to the Chick-fil-A orders.
This
is important for us to talk about in context of Sabbath.
So back to Sabbath. Here's what's so just a couple of more pieces for those catching up on Sabbath. So they would practice Sabbath from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, and it always I think this is beautiful. It always began with a meal. Sort of a celebration meal of, hey, we're going to take a break from work. And so you find out right away, this is about, It's about not just resting. It's not just about crashing. Mm-hmm. It's about the joy of having meaningful work, but being able to rest from that and enjoy family. So there was a meal involved, and there was a special blessing where they would thank God for all that he's blessed them with. This is where we get praying at meals. It literally comes from this ritual. And then it was the only command on this 24-hour period was to enjoy each other, to enjoy God's creation, to enjoy what God's provided. Mm. And it was this really powerful thing for them to rest in knowing that God would continue to provide. And ultimately, it points for us as Christians towards the rest we have in Christ, that he's done the work for us, and that we don't have to ultimately do the work for ourselves. And so Sabbath is a really critical part of the Christian faith. I'm curious for you growing up, like how did that integrate in your life? I know you grew up in a Christian home.
Yeah.
So what did that look like for you?
I did. Grew up a preacher's kid, a PK. And I think it was something we practiced, but it wasn't really a practice that we talked about a lot. Yeah. Like it wasn't super intentional in our home. Again, I feel like we had rhythm, we had times of rest, but we didn't say like, hey, this is our time of Sabbath. And I think for me now, Joel, as a pastor, it's still something that for me, honestly, it takes discipline. It is a spiritual discipline, and it's not a discipline that comes really natural for me. In fact, in our most recent Buckhead Church staff meeting, you asked this icebreaker question that I thought was super intriguing. You said, hey, if you could have one extra hour in the day, so every day you had one extra hour, but you had to pick the same time slot and do the same thing with that extra hour every single day, what would the time slot be and what would you do? And so then you broke us up into little groups amongst our staff. It was great. And so I was with these two guys on our staff. I love them. And I thought I had a really good answer. And I started telling them of all the things that I would try to get done. Like I would do more. And I think I went from like, you know, catching up on work to playing basketball, you know, things I like to do. And I was like, yeah, that's probably what I would do. And then the guy sitting next to me, our high school pastor, Kevin, great guy. Kevin was like, you know what? I've got two little ones. And so right now I would add the 5 a.m. hour. That would be when I'd have
a second 5 a.m.
Yeah, a second 5 a.m. hour.
Which, who wants that?
Yeah, I was like, you're crazy. But he was like, a 5 a.m. hour, because I would make sure that I'd wake up every day and I would spend intentional time slowing down in the presence of God. Mm. And I thought, my answer was garbage. I felt so convicted.
We're learning from the next generation.
In the moment, I felt so convicted and just thought to myself, man, I didn't even think, you know what, I'd rest. Yeah. You know what, I'd sit and just rest in the presence of God and let him refresh my soul. It didn't even come to mind, if I'm being honest with you. And I knew we were going to be talking about this just days later.
Right,
that's the honest truth.
You had already done some preparation.
So I think my answer is I, maybe like many people watching, I think I have some work to do in this area. And this is definitely a discipline that I need to lean into more and be more intentional with in my life because it's valuable.
That's cool. You know, as we mentioned earlier, you know, God didn't need to rest.
Mm-mm.
You know, God's infinite, but we're
not. God, right.
But I believe that the reason why God inspired Moses to document the creation story the way he did is because God knew we would need a model. And and what's interesting is even we see Jesus coming, who was fully God and fully man, but in his humanity, he pulled away to rest on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And he honored the Sabbath, both for healthy rhythm, but also in honor of God and, and what, you know, sort of out of obedience. Mm-hmm. But we don't like that idea that we have limits. You know, God's infinite. He doesn't need it. But we're, in our humanity, we have limits. And as a matter of fact, what the definition of an unhealthy rhythm is when your commitments exceed your limits. Mm-hmm. And you know this, we overcommit our time, we overcommit our finances, we overcommit in our culture. It's more is more. And like what you were saying, Kevin was talking about when it's like, when you got an extra hour, it's like, well, I need to experience more. I need to do more. Cause I'm like you, I've reflexively went to, I want to get some more things done. As a matter of fact, my own personal answer was, because I have four kids, I don't get to play a lot of golf these days. And when I get invited, I don't really feel motivated to go because I don't play a lot. I used to play a lot more. And when I was better, it was more fun to play
golf.
What
is your average round?
So
your
I'd rather not talk about that right now. I can tell you, I'd love to talk about what it used to be.
You could just say it, and then we'll edit. You know, we'll edit it out on the back end, Joel.
Let's just say it's not a good golfer. It's not a single digit handicap anymore.
That's all right.
So let's just go with that.
You have other priorities in life.
I do, but my answer was that I'd use that hour to hit golf balls, like thinking. Yeah. But I will say this, like, I try to squeeze every bit out of every day. And there's something good about that. People with ambition and, we should work as unto the Lord and with excellence. But many of us in our culture, we're driven towards unhealthy rhythms. And I believe this God in his wisdom in the very beginning, in his inspiration of Moses and his instruction of the Israelites in what Jesus modeled is this idea that we need to pause. We need it for reflection. We need it for refreshment. We need it for renewal. And there's so many benefits to changing your rhythm. Even people that, that you have good systems and workout. You work out every day and you eat the right things every day. Those are all good things. But also, there's a reason why dietitians and even trainers, they change up rhythms and they change workouts for muscle confusion and things like that, because it's good for you to change up that schedule on a regular basis. So, I think that the scriptures in lots of different ways, not just in our time, but as we said a moment ago with our finances, it encourages us not to live right up against our limits. It's why you're supposed to give and save before you spend. Mm-hmm. It's why when it comes to temptation, it doesn't say, hey, come right up next to the edge of temptation. It says, flee sexual immorality. It's like, create. Yeah. And this is all about margin. And what happens is as our margin decreases, our stress increases. Mm-hmm. And Sabbath, and you know this, it's true about our families. Life gets full, work and responsibility. And when you don't pause, it's like you become short with people, the people you work with, the people you love.
Yeah.
And it erodes relationships. There's a cost.
Yeah.
There's a cost to taking time off. There's a cost to Chick-fil-A of not doing business on Sunday.
Right.
But there's also a cost. They have some of the lowest turnover. Mm. Also, because everybody in the company gets a day off. Mm. We're in a lot of industries, that's not the case.
Yeah, yeah. So. I think we don't like limits in our lives because limits require us to say no.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but I don't always love to say no.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to say no because no can feel like you're disappointing people.
Yeah.
Or no can feel like you're maybe being lazy. Mm-hmm. Or no can feel like you're missing out on an opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, it can give you a sense of a FOMO even, of like, man, I'm going to, a fear of missing out.
Yeah.
And
you don't want to say no to yourself.
Yeah.
It feels like I'm depriving myself of something.
Or if I say no to this opportunity, then maybe people will stop asking me and I won't get another opportunity. As a young leader, like, you feel like you have to say yes, yes, yes. But honestly, to be healthy and to move at a sustainable pace, it requires you to set limits. It requires you to say no. And if you don't say no, the truth is every time you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else.
By default.
By default.
Yeah.
But if you don't develop the discipline of saying no and the discipline of setting limits or boundaries in your life, then you become distracted. And what I'm learning, I think, Joel, is that a distracted mind leads over time to some really destructive patterns or destructive behaviors in
your
life.
That's a good word.
And you have to set boundaries. You have to set limits. You have to become comfortable with saying no.
Yeah.
And sometimes for me, a filter has just been with my wife. Like, I'll say, like, hey, Ann, I'm going to run some opportunities by you, some decisions by you, even things that you don't feel like I need to run by you. But I need you to help set some limits for me and to help tell me when I should say no, because if you don't, again, there's a consequence, and the consequence is that eventually you'll become, like you said, overwhelmed, overcommitted, overexposed, and you'll eventually crash.
Yep.
Like, you'll crash relationally, you'll crash financially, you'll crash maybe even spiritually.
Yep.
There's a consequence to being unwilling to say no in your life, unwilling to set limits and to set up some guardrails, and to really ultimately say yes to this practice that we're talking about, Sabbath, say yes to rest.
Yep.
So my encouragement.
And there's consequences for you and for people around you. I'm curious. I'm gonna put you on the spot. I didn't tell you I was gonna ask you this. What are the things? Have you found things that for you are things that you find yourself regularly going, oh, I know I need to say no to that. I know that that's going to get me in an unhealthy rhythm. I need to say, and maybe it's on a day of rest that you would call a Sabbath, or maybe it's just a, you know, when that these are the types of things that put you in the red.
Yeah.
Do you have anything come to mind?
You didn't prep me for this question, Joel. So this is going to be a real honest and fresh answer, I think, in my mind. But perfect example, I think. This week, I got asked to go to a Braves game, and I really wanted to go. And honestly, I had the full freedom to go, and in some ways was encouraging me, you should totally go. But I knew that I was coming off of a busy week. I had another busy week ahead. There's tons of activities happening. It's the month of May.
Yeah.
And so any parent knows that in the month of May, it's just craziness. Every other day is something at your kid's school.
Yeah.
And I knew there was all these things happening. And so I just thought through it and thought, man, where do I need to be present? Because I could say yes to going to the game, having some community with a great group of guys. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
And but ultimately, I knew that I needed to say no because I needed to be home and I needed to rest a little bit. And I needed to be with my kids and see how their week had been going and check in on Anne. And I did that.
Yeah.
And it was hard to say no. But honestly, today, had I not said no to that today, I think I would look at you and say, man, I'm really, really tired. And I don't feel tired. A recent practice that Ann and I put into place kind of to gauge how we're doing and if we need to say no to some things is, hey, when you're coming home from work, text me a number 1 through 10 that you feel like we're at. And we talked about this earlier.
Yeah.
Got this from a couple great people that we look up to. They were talking about this practice, which I think ultimately came from Brene Brown, which feels like lots of great practices come from Brene Brown.
Yeah.
And so she's like, text me a number 1 through 10. And if you're at a 7 and I'm at a 2, then it helps us, you know, know where we're at and know how to encourage each other and when you need to say no and when you need to rest. And so I don't know if that answers the question perfectly.
No, it does.
But that's, I think, where my...
I think that's good. I think trying to make it tangible. I just, I asked the question because, you know, I think there's some people who are like, I don't know what... Like, my answer is boring in terms of like how we do...
You? Well, like, you carry a lot in life and in our... In our church, like, what's a recent example for you of how?
Well, here's the thing. I wouldn't say so. Jen and I have gone in waves of doing this really well and not. You know, there's been seasons when I knew really intense seasons when I knew like I'm gonna have to carve out. And I'm not legalistic, but I got very intentional about my Sabbath was 5 p.m. on Friday to 5 p.m. on Saturday because oftentimes there's prep I got to do on Saturday night for Sunday if I'm preaching or if there's things going on or preparing for meetings or whatever. And so I just decided from 5 p.m. on Friday to 5 p.m. on Saturday, I'm not going to do any work. I'm not doing anything stuff with church. Like, I'm not going to check email. I'm not going to work on things. And I think once I pre-decided that, the freedom to not, to even communicating that to people, the freedom to not feel like somebody's waiting on me. They know if I didn't get it to them by Friday at 5 o'clock, they're not going to get it till after 5 o'clock on Saturday. Yeah. And so, and I think mostly for me, the things I have to say no to are work. And it's not because, I don't enjoy my family or my wife or fun or recreation as much. I do. I think there's a part of me that I have that driven gear inside of me that like wants to keep going and wants to build and wants to grow and wants to, you know, and there's, and you know, in what we do, there's, and like a lot of people's work, there's always more to be done. You know, and so for me, it's sort of like anything related to work or even extra opportunities or speaking at things that I get invited a lot to. It's like, I just sometimes, especially if it's in that window, I just got to say no. I can't do it.
And it's super easy for you just to say no in that window, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's never a temptation to compromise and to break the practice you put in it.
Like in the last 2 months when I've really not practiced it well, which is why this is so timely. And it's, We're none of us are immune. Like the reality is we all find ourselves when it's like, we look up and we're like, I haven't taken a break. I haven't taken a day off. I haven't gone on a date with my spouse. I haven't, you know, whatever it is. And it's because you've just been going. And so the thing is you know, God in his infinite wisdom in the beginning, he modeled. I'm going to work, rest. Mm-hmm. It's just notice. It's not, you don't work. Yeah. It's, he worked for 6 days and then it was rest. It's like, you know, there's a lot of work and there's a lot to be done. And God gave us work to do. He gave us meaningful things to be involved, you know, caring for a family, providing all of those things. And so many people in our church, they do such tremendous work in our community. Like they're adding value to our community. And what a way to glorify God, but also to trust him by going, I'm going to take a break.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take a day off. And so I just, my hope for people is that they would try to figure out what's the right rhythm for them.
That's good.
And what does rest look like for them?
Yeah.
And for some people, they actively rest, like getting out and hiking and doing things in nature. Like that can be, that's restful for them.
There's not just one way to find
rest. It's not sitting at home on the couch. Like people think about laziness when they think about rest. It's like, no. It's changing your rhythm to do something that's replenishing, that's energizing, rather than depleting. Because most of us, we pour out. What does it look like to be replenished and to be refilled? And certainly there's a daily, we've talked about some daily practices in this series, Do Not Disturb. But having a weekly practice, which was modeled by God and by Christ and then commanded to us, is you can look at it and go, well, no, that's for the people of Israel. And it's like, no, this is a timeless principle of something that creates a healthy rhythm.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say, Joel, is that rest is ultimately about refreshing your soul and your mind and your body so that you can continue to maximize the gifts and the opportunities and the ways that God wants to work in and through you in your life. Like that's ultimately like, and when we neglect the spiritual practice of rest, ultimately what we're saying is, God, we trust that we know better than you.
Yeah.
That you've set this rhythm and this into motion.
There's a pride.
But we know better. And we are stronger than that, God. We don't need to rest. We know that you said work, rest. Which I think that's important too, that rest implies that you've been working.
That's right.
So it's like, hey,
you need to get to work.
Maybe the flip side.
Some of you are rest, work.
You've been Sabbathing too much. And now it's time to break the Sabbath and to go
discipline you can practice too much.
There's some parent watching right now that's like, my 17-year-old needs to hear this. Amen. They're clapping us down on the couch right now, Joel. But I think this series has been really, really timely. This weekend, in many ways, Memorial Day weekend seems to launch us into the summer months. And for many people, rhythms change in the summer and schedules maybe get busier in a different type of way. And I think there's always the chance when that happens to drift away from faith and to drift out of rhythms that have been good and healthy. But there's also the opportunity to be intentional and to lean in and say, no. I'm not just going to get through the summer. I'm going to grow through this summer, and I'm going to actually move forward in my faith and forward in my health holistically. And so that's really my hope for people, is that these last few weeks would lead people down a path that would be good for them and ultimately would glorify God in every area of their life. So Joel, next week, we are beginning a brand new series.
Yes, we are.
And you are kicking us off. And so would love for you to kind of tell us more.
I've been thinking about
it. I actually haven't heard anything about it yet, so I'm leaning in and really excited.
I've been thinking about this for a long time, actually. It's something I want to talk about for a while. And we've touched on the edges of it in some different messages and some different series. The title of the series is called Challenge Accepted. And it's really all about the fact that, growth in life and growth in faith and really the best things, they come when we have to walk through the hardest seasons and through the biggest challenges. And as a society, we're not people that like challenge. We don't move towards challenge. We move towards comfort. That's what we prioritize. We value comfort above other things. And so I want to talk about why that's a problem and why, particularly in America, why we have the biggest challenge of embracing the fact that, just as a preview, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. It's part of life. And I think there's a little bit in me that thinks that he doesn't relieve us of trouble. He doesn't, come to me and I'll put a hedge of protection around you. You never deal with challenge again. It's because he knows we need it to grow. In fact, psychologically, as we're going to see,
challenge and contradiction cause you to grow more than anything else in life. It's just, it's a fact. Yeah. And so we're going to talk about that for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And what it looks like, we're going to talk about some specific challenges that we should embrace. The scriptures encourage us to embrace so we can grow. And I hope people will join us for it. So
that sounds awesome. I can't wait. All right. It's going to be great.
Thank you for joining us for Buckhead Church Online. To explore all that's happening at Buckhead Church, please visit www.buckheadchurch.org/thehub. We hope you'll join us next week for the launch of our new sermon series, Challenge Accepted. We look forward to seeing you then.